Brothers, let us open God's word. I know that you use the ESV, and I'm going to read from ESV, but I always use my New King James. But I'm going to read from ESV. Open your Bibles in the letter of Peter, 1 Peter, 1 Peter. And I'm going to read from chapter 122, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22, and I'm going to read you chapter 2, verse 3, although by God's leading, we're going to remain in chapter 2, 1 to 3. But I'd like to read from chapter 1, verse 22, so that you understand the context of Peter here. You have your Bibles open. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to chapter 2, verse 3. Now, how many kids under 12 years old we have here? Lift your hands. I know that Cooper and Jude is there. How many kids under 12 years old? All right. I want to see all of you. Are you looking at me? Good. Look at me. All of you under 12 years old. Listen to this. I'm going to read a passage from the infallible, inerrant, invincible, inspired, sufficient, and efficient Word of the Living God. The only Holy Spirit inspired and written Word of God to anyone in the world. There is no other God's book on this one. And I'm going to read a letter from the Apostle Peter. Wasn't the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom Jesus Christ gave authority to represent him and to write, inspired by the Holy Spirit for all of us. This is the word of the living God. Now, are you all with me under 12 years old? I'm going to ask you to pay attention to one thing. I'm going to read the passage. And I want you to count. That will be something. To count. How many times I'm going to read? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Cooper, are you with me? Jude, are you with me? Are you with me? Good. Thank you. Now, by the way, if I preach for them, you understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to read that passage. There is just one verse that I'm going to read according to the New King James. But I want you to count how many times I'm going to read the word, word. Are you with me? Yeah. How many times I'm going to read the word, word. That's okay. I love the feedback. I'm going to start. Are you with me? Pay attention. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh, it's like grass, and all its glory, like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flowers falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants or babies. Now I'm going to read the New King James. Long or desire the pure milk of the word. that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. How many times I mentioned the word in the reading? How many? Four. How many? Four. All right, four. Do you get it? The same? Four times? Now, dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you something very quickly here. And don't worry. I'm praying if you have a revival, you can go on. But just a footnote. None of us spend only 1 hour watching football, or especially Super Bowl. I'm here in this country for 29 years. Never met. And by the way, I really love real football. The one that you use the feet. Soccer. When I'm here, I love to watch the Super Bowl. But I have never met an American here that told me this. Dr. Medeiros, I come to worship the Lord. It's 1 hour worship service from beginning to the end. And because of that commitment that I have to worship the Lord, when it's time of Super Bowl, I tell myself, I'm going to watch it just for 1 hour. If it's not ended in 1 hour, that's over for me. Something is wrong. There is something terribly wrong. We can enjoy 3-4 hours or more of a football game. But you come in the Lord's day to worship the King, to get his God's people. And if it goes maybe 10 minutes over it, we cannot take. Something is terribly wrong. By the way, don't worry. I'm going to watch my time. What I mean is this. I'm going to check here how long does it take for me to finish this exposition. But now, all of you here under 12 years old, how many times I read the word? How many times? Four. What's your name? Carson. Thank you, Carson. Now, listen to this. Peter is writing this letter, not to one local church. He's writing this letter to several churches, including church that Paul had planted. And some of them in persecution. Some people really scattered because of persecution. And he's writing this letter to them. And the passage that I read today, Peter is reminding them, I don't have time to go to the other passage, but Peter is reminding them one of the crucial things in your life, one thing that you cannot leave aside. Peter is reminded in the midst of persecution, scattered, suffering, that whatever they are, that they should never forget the power that brought a new birth in their lives, that transformed their lives, and that purified their souls, grant them a desire to obey the truth and to love one another. And the source of it, the power of it, is the word of the living God. Look with me, chapter 1, verse 22. He gives us three evidence of what does it mean to be born again. He says this. Listen, the three evidence that you have been born again. One is this, he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. He says, now, listen to this. He says, now, you know that your souls have been purified. In other words, your sins have been forgiven. By the way, if you read the preceding verse, that's what he's talking about. By the blood of Christ, by the sacrifice of Christ, you know your sins have been forgiven. You have been purified. And there is also that desire to obey the truth as well. In other words, to grow in that. And to love one another. These are three evidence for him of someone has been born again. You know, you have been purified. There is this, the truth, the desire to obey the truth is there. And the love for one another. If you don't have it, you have not been born again. And I know that because in verse 23 he says this, having been born again. This is the cause that led you to know that your souls have been purified, that you obey the truth, you love one another. But what was the power that brought this new birth, that brought those evidence? He's reasoning backwards. And this is this, been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the word of God has this power to regenerate you. And that's the first thing he's reminding them. You are born again. You have been purified. You want to obey the truth. You want to love one another. Because you have been born again by the power of this word. Many times people say, Dr. Medeiros, how do you share the gospel with people? By the way, I pray every single day, my wife and I pray every single day, Lord, would you give us an opportunity today to meet someone, wherever we are, in the bank, at Sam's, wherever we are. To share the gospel with someone today. And sometimes God sent people to our house. Jehovah's Witness. Mormons. Or people that are coming to bring UPS, FedEx, or some people that come to sell us something. Oh, I don't waste this opportunity because I believe God sent them to me. And I pray every single day. And if the person is already a believer, I pray, Lord, give me a time to strengthen that person on the word of the truth. And says, how do you share the gospel? I talk with people. I want to know about them. And I ask questions because I'm really interested in them. And sometimes they ask me questions. And I give an answer. And as soon as I give an answer, I said, let me tell you, where is the source of my answer? And then I go to the Bible and I begin to read and to explain to them. Because what Peter is saying here is that there is only one sword of the Spirit in the Bible. And it's not my word. That's the word of the living God. There is only one word that will never come back void. This is the Bible, says Isaiah. And I have no other word to share but this. A few weeks up, we are remodeling our house. And I was working with a brother from a church in Pocalina had gone to buy some things, and the girl came to our house and knocked on the door. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. And I opened the door, and there was this girl in front of me, 21 years old, and she was selling books for kids. Hot! It was, I say, the weather. I'm not talking about the girl. I'm talking about the weather. Forgive me because English has been the fourth language I have to get acquainted in my life. Well, it was hot and she was sweating. And she began to tell me about books that she was selling. She was from Arizona, whatever. These people that come selling books. And I told her, listen, if my wife would be here, I would invite you to come in. But my wife's not here. And I should avoid any appearance of evil. Said, but listen, I don't have kids at home anymore. But I asked her something about what she was doing, and she began to tell me. I said, I can bring you, what do you want? I have some water, I have some orange juice. Said, would you bring some orange juice for me? I said, okay, stay here. And I went and got some orange juice, and she drank like crazy. And I asked her, do you have a Bible? I said, yes, sir, I have a Bible. I said, is it with you? I said, no, I left in Arizona. I said, do you read that book every single day? I said, no, sir. I said, I have good news for you. That book transformed my life and the life of my wife and the life of my family. And as I began to share, she said to me, look, she just said to me, would you give me a verse of the Bible for me this morning? Like this. I said, of course I have. And I said, I'm going to give you John 3:16. Have you ever heard of John 3:16? I said, no. Don't assume. And then, by heart, I quoted to her and began to explain what does it mean that Jesus, God, has loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. I was just sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with her. I said, do you believe it? Well, no. You say, how do you share the gospel? I share the gospel by using the sword of the Spirit. And I explain to people. And I don't remember in my more, I have been preaching for more than 50 years of my life. 44 years as an ordained minister. But since my youth, I don't remember one week in my life that God had not given opportunity to talk with people who are still lost and share the good news by open the word. That's my mind, many times my heart, with them. What Peter is telling us to remember, to remind us that any assurance that we have, any transformation that happened in our lives, happened because of the Word of God, the Bible. And listen to what he says more about that Bible. Maybe I'm going to finish there just in this first part. If the Lord gives me one opportunity, one day I'll come back and give you chapter 2. 1-3, but that's all right with me. But now listen to this. Verse 24. He not only tells you that this word has the power to transform your life, and all of you who are scattered, don't forget that. You have been born again by the power of this word. And therefore your souls have been purified, you obey the truth, you love one another. These are evidence of the power of this word, the centrality of this word on the life of the believers, whether they are new or old. And listen what he says, quote in the Old Testament, verse 24, says, it's because all flesh is as grass. You got it? All of us here is like a grass, my friend. We are not going to remain in this world forever. And the glory of man as the flower of the grass. I have 3 doctorates, 2 master's degrees, so what? A lot of glory, no money. But the point is this. Does not matter how much glory you have in life, reputation, fame, money, education. It does not matter. The Bible says you're going to die. And all that you are speak to you is like a flower. The grass withers and its flower falls away. It's gone. What's going to remain forever anyway? He says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word that will keep you also forever. This is the centrality of God's word. In our salvation, nobody can be saved, nobody can be assured of his salvation without the conviction of the Holy Spirit based in the Word of the Spirit, the Word of God. Say, why do I know that I will not perish? Because John MacArthur, John Piper told you so? Of course not. I know that I'm going to perish because Jesus said that God the Father loved the world that is referring to people. He loved me so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that by believing in him, which is already a work of the Holy Spirit, I will never perish. This is my assurance. There is no other way. And in John 5:24, well, you know what Jesus said. Let me just read to you. You don't need to go there. But I'm going to read to you. Oh, how I love those statements of Jesus. In John chapter 5, verse 24. Let me just read it to you very quickly here. He says, how do you know for sure that you have... And I could go to Paul. There is no more condemnation for us. Because Christ died, paid for our sins, and declared us righteous before him. And in John 5:24, Jesus said this. Listen to this. Let me read in slow motion. Don't need to go there. Most assuredly, I say to you, undoubtedly, amen, amen, I say to you. He says to me this. With all assurance, he says this. He who hears my word. Therefore, for someone to be a believer and to be saved, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. This word has not only the power to save you, but the word has the power to make you hear, because you're dead. And listen to what it says. He who hears my word means, he here means anyone, anywhere, anytime. That's why when I talk with people, what do I want to give them? The word of God, the truth of the Bible. Not only for unbelievers, but for believers as well. He who hears my word. Faith comes by hearing, my friend. You have to speak the words of truth to people. And listen to what the Bible says. He who hears, secondly, and believes in him who sent me. You hear my word, you believe that the Father sent me. If you believe, this is already a work of the Holy Spirit. You believe that the Father sent me. John 3:16 says this. For God so loved the world, he sent me. You hear my words, you believe in the one who sent me. Listen. By the way, all in the present tense. Have you realized that? All in the present tense. If you hear now, believe now. Listen to what it says. Has everlasting life. You hear now, you believe now, you have it now. Everlasting life, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You have a life worth living now and forever. Psalm 23:6 says this. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When the Lord is your shepherd. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Did you get it? All the days of my life in this world, the goodness of God, the mercy of God is going to follow me all the days of my life. And what happened after that? And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The reference to the house of the Lord is the same that Jesus says in John 14. I have a place I'm going to prepare to you. Goodness and mercy all the days of my life. And when this life is gone, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus promised this. By the way, that's why I have assurance of my salvation. Not because some theologian said so. But because the Holy Spirit said so. And not only that, listen to the rest of the point here. And shall not come into judgment. In other words, there will be no condemnation. Judgment means there will be no condemnation. But has passed from death into life. You hear, you believe, you have it. No more condemnation. At that moment, you have passed from death into life. Forever. You are a new creation. This is my assurance. By the way, based on what? In the word of the living Christ. And Peter tells you this. Peter tells you this. For God's people, do not forget that your souls have been purified. There is a desire in you to obey the truth, to go in holiness. And to love one another. Because you, these are evidence that you have been regenerated. You have been born again. You are a new creature. And it says, and the power that brought this new life is the word of God. And that's the word that was preached to you. But since I promised to you that I'm going to say something about chapter 2, 1, 2, 3. And I still have 1 hour to finish. No, don't worry. When in Brazil, they give 1.5 hours. But I'm not in Brazil. Let me show more what Peter is saying here. Give me 5 more minutes. Peter not only is telling God's people spread through everywhere as we are. Never forget your salvation. That your souls have been purified, that you obey the truth, that love one another, because one day you were born again. And the instrument of that birth that brought new life is the seed of the gospel that generate that life. The word that remains forever. But then Peter continues to tell them this. Not only this is the word has the power to give you that new life, but it's the only word that will keep you growing in this new life. That's what we find in chapter 2. Because he's talking about people who have been more than 30 years, knew the Apostle Paul. And he says this now. Listen, laying aside all malice, all deceit, etc. He says, as newborn babies, he says, desire or long for the pure milk of the word. I know that ESV puts spiritual milk. But spiritual here is the same word, logikon, that he used in the preceding verse. Now, of course, yes, we put that way because it makes no sense about milk of the word. You have milk of the cow milk, then they put milk, spiritual milk. So that you understand there is a spiritual milk. What is this spiritual milk? But the Greek text of logikon, they long for desire, be addicted to the milk of the word. In other words, you are not only regenerated by this, but also the only way for you to keep growing, because he says this, that you may grow thereby if you have tasted the Lord's goodness. If you have been saved, this is the word that will keep you growing. Has the power to regenerate you and the power to make you grow. And he make a commandment here that I don't know how you handle that. Because he's telling God's people, command me here, that's fantastic. Long for, desire intensively the milk of the word. You get it? There's a command. It's not an option for us. There is no way for us to grow without desire intensively, daily, the word of living God. This is the word that keeps us growing. Keep us going. When you wake up in the morning, let me ask you a question. When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that you want to take? How do you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, please, I want to go to your word. I want to be fed. My breakfast will be your word. Because that's tasteful. My friend, one of the greatest problems of the church throughout the world today is biblical anorexia. Most of God's people spend more time with Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, social media, TV, than with the word of the living God. I'm going to ask a question here, my conclusion. You don't need to lift your hands. If one day I come, I'll give you more exposition, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 to 3. I'm going to ask you a question here. Don't lift your hands. How many of us here, including the children, Cooper and Judy, Jude and Cooper, don't need to raise your hand, okay? But all of us here, how many of us here are spending at least 30 minutes every single day drinking, eating from the word of God? Don't lift your hands. How many of us has a plan? Say, Lord, now I'm going to meditate in the book of John, for example, or any book of the Bible, and you pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, illumine my mind that I may understand and speak to my heart that I may believe and obey it. 30 minutes every single day. And we start then the first verse in slow motion. The Bible has to be read in slow motion. Like seeing it, feeling it, savoring it, thinking through it. And after 30 minutes, you stop and pray and go to your to do whatever you have to do. The following day, you keep the same way. Every single day, how many of us? Peter says this, desire, long for the pure milk of the Word. And you know the illustration he gives. How should I desire the pure milk of the Word? He says, that's the illustration. Like a newborn baby. I know that, yes, we put infant. But Peter says, like a newborn baby. How should I desire the Word of God? Like a newborn baby. Have you realized when a baby is born? Generally, every 2, 3, or 4 hours, they want to be fed. And Peter says, desire that word that transforms your life. If you want to grow by it, desire it like a newborn baby desire to be fed. This is an illustration, my friend. Our first boy was born in the Amazon jungle. He was born at 3:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock that evening. We brought him to a place as a family. And I still remember when we got there by 7 o'clock at night. And my wife and I were very tired because the boy was born at 3:30 in the morning. And the Amazon is hot. And the family had there prepared some food for us. We ate. And then we went to the place where they gave us a room there in my house. I remember Foklin and I were dead meat. I lay down. Foklin lay down. We began to sleep. My friend, suddenly this boy, who is now 43 years old, within 30 minutes, because I don't know, they fed him in the hospital. It's about 8, 9 o'clock. This little boy, my friend, wah! Wah! I thought he was sick. My wife said, no, he's hungry. I took him, changed his diaper, gave to her. And while I was changing his diaper, he could not stop crying. And he was crying loud. And I gave to my wife. She fed him. And he began to sleep again. Still remember, put him back. My friend, we are tired. Almost 10 o'clock at night. I changed his diaper again. He was sleeping. I said, little Johnny, now mom and I are really tired. You have just been fed. Now let us go to sleep. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Huh? 2 hours later, where am I, friend? Then 10 o'clock, 12 and 2 o'clock, I discover the text that came to my mind was Peter. Long for, desire, like a newborn baby. And I began to think about the intensity of his desire. He was crying, and nothing could stop him. I could give him some new clothes. He would continue to cry. And some of us are taking the new clothes of the world on the balloon of the internet, thinking that it satisfies you. It does not. And I began to be impressed with the intensity of his desire, because Peter talked about you should desire like a newborn baby. The intensity, the frequency, every 2 to 3 hours, my friend. The psalmist says, oh, how much I love your word. It is my meditation all day long. It's not that he was reading the Bible all day long. He meditated. During the day, he was thinking of the decision he has to make. He would submit to the word of God. But the other thing he impressed me the most was also the satisfaction. Not just the intensity, the frequency, but the satisfaction. Jude Cooper, there is nothing in the world that will satisfy yourself. And I hope and pray that you made a commitment, all of us. By the way, they're just helping with my preaching, okay? I have talked with them already. It's go to all of you under 12 years old. Nothing will satisfy you. Doesn't matter how old you are. Than the intake of God's word every single day of your lives. And desire the pure milk of the word like a newborn that you may grow. In other words, God wants us to grow And he gave us the means of grace by which we can grow, that his word. And the promises are so many in the Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Do you need restoration? Go to the word. Rejoice in the heart. Does your heart need rejoice? Go to the word. All the promise of God. As to finish you. The friend said once that every single day, every single minute almost of our lives, we operate from one of the two points of view. One is the human point of view, and the other is the divine point of view. The most popular in our lives, the human. We go what people say. The most popular is the human, but the most fruitful and joyful is this one here. Let us pray. Father, give us more about Jesus. Thank you for your word. And I pray that all of us here will leave this day. Say, Lord, I want to make a commitment to you every single day. I want to take more of your word. I want to make a plan, Lord, every single day. I'm going to take at least 20 minutes. I know there will be spiritual warfare, but I want to take at least 20 minutes again. I'm going to take one of the books of the Bible, and I'm going to read it carefully for 20 minutes, slow motion, thinking through, that I may hear you and experience the illumination of your spirit every single day from now on. In the name of Christ. Amen. Let us stand up and sing.